Can everybody copy me there? Hear me back there? Thank you, Pastor Dan, and thank you, Reich CC Church, for inviting us to come and share today. We are blessed and have been blessed by your prayer support and financial support during our past five-year term as we have served with Wycliffe Bible Translators over there with the Benedetti people for 5 years. And so we're just back here for this work assignment in the States, but we're blessed to be able to share this morning. God has been using your prayers and support during this crazy time of pandemics and economic uncertainty to spread the gospel around the world. And when we were just fellowshipping with Pastor Dan and Kim this past week, he shared with me that you guys are really a mission-minded church. You're not only serving here in several different ways among local ministries, but you're also serving with Operation Christmas Child and also have been supporting and partnering with four different sets of missionaries. And we count it a privilege to be one of those sets of missionaries. So thank you for faithfully standing with us while we've been serving over in Papua New Guinea and for continuing to support us while we're here on home assignment in the United States. We want to thank you very, very much for giving us a chance. You gave us a large Christmas gift in December, and that enabled us to visit our children and grandchildren in Alaska in January. And so that was a real blessing. It was a little cold up there, but it was still a blessing. So God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown and are continuing to show toward his name. And we feel honored this morning to be able to report in person to you and thank you for how God has worked and is working through our partnership with you as we serve among the Benedetti people. And some of you may be asking, and we were in Sunday school the hour before this, and I think it was Brother Gary, he got a little ahead of it, himself here and was asking me some interesting questions, sort of like, how did you and Kathy ever end up serving the Lord over there in Papua New Guinea? Well, okay, now you get to hear the answer. I thank God that I had Christian parents. And when I was just a little tyke, I was 4 years old, and my mom, after correcting me for hitting my brother and taking back my toy truck, she said, Jonathan, do you want to be a good boy? And I said, yes, Mom. She said, Jonathan, you can't be a good boy unless you have Jesus in your heart. Would you like to invite Jesus to come into your heart today? I said, yes. And so that was the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And later, when I was 8 years old, my parents sent me and my two brothers off to a Bible club camp up in Western New York. And during that week of camp, there was a missionary speaker named Uncle Mick. Now, Uncle Mick had been a missionary in New Guinea. And all through the week, he held us spellbound as he told us about these headhunters who were always fighting among themselves. They were worshiping evil spirits, and sometimes they even killed their enemies and ate them. Well, at the end of the week, the last day, he had us all bow our heads, and he said, I'm going to ask you a big question, and I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you a big question right now. And then I'm going to pray. So anyways, he said, if God were to ask any of you to go over to New Guinea to tell these dear people who are lost in spiritual darkness and are in need of having their sins forgiven and to hear the gospel of how Jesus has come to rescue them, how many of you would be willing to go over there to New Guinea? And I had to think about that. He said, and if you are willing, I'd like you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. And took me a few seconds. I actually opened my eye, one eye, and looked around, saw if anybody else was raising their hand. But God convicted me that he not only loved Jonathan Wilson, But he loved all the people of the world and loved the people over there in New Guinea so much that he had sent Jesus for them, and I should be willing to go. So that morning, I raised my hand. And then when I graduated from high school, I decided to go to a little Bible Institute up in Eastern New York, called Word of Life Bible Institute. And while I was there, I was challenged by a missionary speaker to give myself 100% to the Lord. And it was at that time that I dedicated myself, body, soul, and spirit, to the Lord for the first time. And shortly after that, I received a letter in the mail. And I opened the letter and read it, and here another missionary who our church supported, and I had sent a letter to earlier telling him I was praying for him. He asked me this question. He says, "Jonathan, have you ever considered being a Bible translator?" And while I thought about it, and I had never considered that, and I wasn't really planning on it either, until I started majoring in different things in college. And after switching majors about 5 times, I decided maybe God was trying to get my attention. And at that point in time, I decided to start pursuing preparing to be a Bible translator who could help a minority language group who still did not have God's word in their own heart language to have it and to help them receive it through translation.
I was blessed with Christian parents also who loved the Lord. They took my brothers and sisters and I to Sunday school and church each Sunday. And I came to trust Jesus at a young age. And it was during my time at Twin Pines summer camp where I dedicated my life to serving God in Christian missions. And after finishing college, it was my grandmother who talked to me about inner city teen missions. And she convinced me to look into this position in Philadelphia with Teen Haven. And so for the next 5 years, I lived in the concrete jungles of Philadelphia. And there I led Bible studies, and I was a girls' camp program director. And I learned a whole lot about being a missionary. That's actually where I met my friend Trish here from Lititz, way back when. But as the years rolled by, I knew God was calling me to overseas work. And I was especially excited about Bible translation because God's word had changed my heart. It had changed my life. And I loved the idea that maybe I could give my life towards such a cause so that others could also read God's word in their language. And then I met Jonathan while in linguistics school. And down there in Texas, we soon were married. And we finished our linguistic training together, and we headed to the jungles of Papua New Guinea. And there we've been working among the Binindari people.
On a Sunday in October, back in 2017, Nindawari Village was humming with excitement. News had come that on this particular day, the body of a former hometown boy was to arrive by motorboat. Benson had grown up in the village, but he had left to find a job in the big city. But now his dead body was being transported back to the village. The burial took place the following day, and Kathy and I were able to attend. And as we stood there by the grave, the spiritual leader, the man in charge of the service that day, read from his order of service book in English. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." All of the people that were in attendance that day seemed to be understanding and listening to their spiritual leader. However, just prior to this event and afterwards, we had people coming up to us asking questions like these. One young lady, "Is it possible to communicate with my dead family members?" Another young man, "Can I talk with my dead uncle? I want to find out who caused his death." Like many of the language groups over in Papua New Guinea, the Benindede people have a strong history of ancestor spirit worship. Therefore, they still confer with sorcerers to try to find out who caused a family member's death. And why do they do that? So that they can take revenge. They also engage in rituals and sacrifices that they hope will appease and satisfy the spirits so that these spirits will not destroy their gardens or cause sickness. Observing practices like this and hearing different Benindede friends ask us such questions helps motivate Kathy and me and convince us of the importance of getting God's word translated into the heart language of these people, the Benindede people, so they can really understand what God has to say about these issues.
My friend Dowsey, she would love to be here today to meet you. And she's a 40-year-old Benindere woman who is married with four children, and she lives in Nindawari Village. With her reading skills and an education through the ninth grade, she's been a real asset to our literacy reading classes and also the girls' teen young and young women's Bible studies. One day, she escorted us on a hike, Jonathan and I, and crossing a skinny log bridge. It was about 40 feet long over a deep stream. We were carrying six Benindere scripture books with us to a village up the river, 3 miles. And thanks to her help, we arrived safe and dry, and we were able to sell all those books to the people there in Awade Village. In our memory verse contest, Dowsey also memorized 50 of the Benindere scripture verses, and she was an excellent example to the young teenagers. And the first prize winner, by the way, was a 17-year-old teenage girl who memorized 176 verses in just 5 weeks of Benindere scripture verses. Yeah, it's an oral society, and they do very well at memorizing, but still, that's incredible. On the awards night, Dowsey gave a short speech on how memorizing God's word can help the teen girls to do well in school, to honor their parents, and even to honor God. On our most recent trip to the village, Dowsey was one of the first of our Benindere friends to meet us at the helicopter pad there on the soccer field. And she helped us unload the cartons of newly translated Benindere scripture books that we were taking to the village. She was so excited to see more of God's word that had been translated and compiled into a book, to be able to read it in her language. But she let us know also that she was very interested in receiving the Benindere Book of Romans when we finish it up and finish translating it and getting it into print. Now, we would like to sing a song for you in Benindere.
Okay, if you want to know the words to the song, you can cheat and go to John chapter 11. Verses 25 and 26. But we are going to sing the song for you in English after we sing it in Benindere. Na erari tutu itana, Nawa siritu tu itana. Gebe ari ito nato yai pie. Edo imo betata. Imo te kago arata. Edo tenda betain yai. Okay, now you guys have looked it up, some of you in the Bible, and you've found that these are Jesus' words that he spoke to Martha. And she had a brother that died, right? He was dead for 4 days. Okay, what did Jesus say to her?
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never die.
Back in 1992, a Benedetti Anglican priest rounded up three young Benedetti men to come and teach Jonathan and Kathy the language. And when he brought these guys along, we had no clue who they were or where they came from. But as we got to know them, we learned that one of them was named Wilberforce. And Wilberforce just happened to be a village chief and have a very strong respect for the ancestor spirits and sorcery. Well, now, many years later, Kathy and I best know Wilberforce for his great love for the Lord and for the Benedetti people. Kathy and I will never forget the Sunday back in 2008 when we were attending the Anglican church in our village. And on that Sunday morning, at the end of the service, Wilberforce goes walking up towards the front of the church with a bag filled with these items that he used to perform black magic and sorcery. He handed them over to the priest to destroy. Now, we hadn't asked Wilberforce to do this. And the only thing that we can conclude is that as he worked on Bible translation with us, God was convicting him and telling him this was something he needed to do. Then, in September 2019, we were in the village celebrating Independence Day, the Independence Day celebration of Papua New Guinea with the people. And on that day, 25 young men were there and were ushered onto the soccer field where the event was taking place, about 300 people observing, watching. And these men brought their supplies of sorcery, making fetishes and items, and drug manufacturing equipment, better known as stuff to make home brew, which is an alcoholic beverage they make out of coconut milk. They also were throwing out their marijuana. The elders of the village had put some pressure on these guys and said, you need to stop doing this or we're going to take you to jail. And it was really a solemn event. And everybody was, I think, happy to see what took place that day. So they brought this stuff out to the middle of it to the field, and it was going to be burned or destroyed. But then, after they did that, the thing that really impressed Kathy and me was here comes Wilberforce. He humbly walks out to the center of the field. Wilberforce, our co-translator, the village chief, he gets down on his knees and he starts praying. We were a distance away, so we couldn't hear everything he said. But basically, this is what we heard him say. Lord, please forgive these young men for this kind of activity, and please help them to truly repent and start living the way God wants them to live.
One morning on our Midwest road trip, my phone rang, and our son Justin, he was on the other end, and he was really thrilled about an internet site he had just found. And it had pictures of Nindawari Village. And that's the village that he grew up in overseas. Since then, Jonathan and I, we've gone on the internet and Googled it, and we found some of these same pictures. And you too could Google it this afternoon if you want, Nindawari, and see what you find. It's amazing, but it's not surprising to have technology making inroads even into the remote jungles of Papua New Guinea. The community school principal and the school teachers are some of the few people who do have mobile phones in our village. And another young man named Davey, he grew up with our kids. He's now working 3 days walk from the village in town. And he's my Facebook friend. And he sometimes posts photos and news from home. And so a short while ago, we were told about a Binondary man who was working with a security firm in the capital city of Morbi province. And one day he found an app on his phone and he was so excited to be able to read for the very first time the Book of Mark in his own language. And we've since heard from an acquaintance of Hubert's that he is a changed person. He's excited and he's always talking about God and God's work in his life and God this and God that. And, you know, when we hear these kind of stories, we are really encouraged that God is at work behind the scenes. And we praise him. We praise God that 70% of the Binondary New Testament is now available online to download for those in town. But most of our language group lives in remote villages. And so they also can read it because it's in scripture, it's in book form. Through these translated scriptures, the seeds are being planted and God is watering them and he's making them grow. Now we would like to take you on a short visit to Nindawari Village.
This world, they resound.
before we finish today, we would like to leave you with two verses that we're really clinging to and hanging on to, found in Ephesians chapter 3, and they're verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You and I, who are called God's children through faith in Christ, serve an amazing God who's able to do wonderful and awesome things through our prayers. For this reason, Kathy and I are unashamedly asking and inviting you to pray for our 6 Benedetico translators as they continue to translate 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans and also South Scripture books while we're here in the U.S. And we have, with God's help, translated 83% of the New Testament so far. But as we make plans to go back in June, we would appreciate your prayers because we'd like to finish the last 17% of the New Testament. And also, we'd appreciate your prayers right now for God's watch, care, and protection as we visit ministry partners. We're speaking in 4 more churches. We've got to get medical clearance, pack supplies, and we'd like to visit our family members before leaving this June. In fact, we're looking for 200 prayer partners who would commit themselves to pray for us on a regular basis. And when I say regular, it could be once a week or it could be 5 times a week, but at least once a week. And if you would be willing, if God touches your heart, to join our prayer team today, there is a clipboard back on the display table in the foyer that you can sign up to pray for us. Maybe you're already doing so. I encourage you to do so again. We have 165 people who have committed to pray for us so far, but we'd like to reach that 200 mark before we go back. If you do sign up, be sure to sign either your postal address or your email address and pick up a prayer card, because our new prayer cards are also on the table back there. And last of all, I'd like to invite Pastor Dan to come forward. And we have a small gift here. And it's a token of our appreciation for you, Pastor Dan, and also the Rikes EC church family. And what this is a copy of our latest scripture book. It's entitled God Dage Wasidi Day. And what it translates into is God's living word. This book contains the Gospel of Matthew, John, and also the epistles Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Timothy, Philemon, James, 1 Peter, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. This is another 35% of the New Testament. And so we just want to let you know we appreciate you. We appreciate you, brother. And you guys are praying for us, and you're serving God right here. Right here, you're shining God's light in East Donegal Township, Lancaster County, Eastern Pennsylvania, in the United States and around the world. And we just want to encourage you to, and thank you for the great job you're doing, and encourage you to keep up the great work. So thanks again for having us today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Kathy, thank you. This is a treasure. Thank you we're going to put this in the library and everyone here can take a look at it. And it's just a reminder of our partnership together in the gospel. And thank you. And continue to remind us to pray for you as the translation continues to be done. And Kim and I were just, when you showed the video at the end, ancient words, I want to stay here while we say this. Ancient words, well, that was playing. We were tearing up. Because when we were in Uganda on the Operation Christmas Child distribution of shoeboxes, our last place we were at was the poorest distribution, a very remote place out in the village somewhere, way out remote, and very, very poor, dirt floors, just cardboard walls. And when we were waiting to go in for the distribution, Ancient Words was being played. And every time we hear that song, it just takes us back to Uganda and the distribution of the shoeboxes and the Word of God going all around the world, transforming lives. And it's the Word of God that transforms lives. So thank you for your partnership. Let's thank them for being here this morning. Continue to pray for them. They have been home since July, and they had quite a busy year on this home assignment. 6 months in New York, traveling all around that way, 6 months down here, traveling all over the country, keeping connection with family, and now preparing to go back for another 5 years term of service. So just continue to pray for them as they continue that important work of translating God's word into the heart language of the Benedetti people.